Good morning again, everyone. I hope you're ready today. This is going to be a really good day today. So today we're going to be looking at the book of Matthew, which again, I got to say is a really great book. I may have a little bias in it, but you know, but I will say the book of Matthew is better than the book of Matt. So, but we're going to be looking at chapter 25, verses 1 through 13 today. So if you have your Bibles, you can break them out or your phone, or should be up on the screen here pretty soon. So then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So we're going to be looking at this in a new perspective today. So first off, with the virgins, you have the wise and the foolish. Well, believe it or not, that's us. Because, and the difference is the wise ones are pure. A virgin is seen as someone who is pure. We were learning in Sunday school this morning that the pure, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so the pure in heart are always seeking the Lord for everything. They're staying in the word, in prayer, in meditation, and fasting. In everything they do, they seek the Lord. That is the oil for the lamps, because each of us is a light in unto this world. So therefore, when it says that they had their lights lit, their lamps lit, that's the light inside of them, which is the light inside of us. Now, they all had their lamps lit, but the bridegroom tarried. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. Do you know that we're all married to Jesus? Each and every one of us, we're the bride. Now, I hate to tell you, some of you may look at it and say, you know, some people say with a wedding, well, that's just the old ball and chain. If anybody, Jesus should be saying that to us, you know, well, that's my ball and chain right there. But, it's rather a blessed event. But again, why is it dark? You know, does that make sense? Why it's a dark wedding? The reason is because it's a dark world. We are waiting in a dark world for our groom to come get us. But yet, in the darkness, you still have light. And that's us. We are shining. And that's why it's important, as we're waiting for the Lord, to keep our lights lit within us. And our light, of course, comes from the Lord. John 1:9 says, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." All right. So right there, Jesus is saying, you are the light. It's you. In the darkness, each and every one of you here is the light to this dark world. But what are you doing to keep that light lit? That's the difference between the 10, the wise virgins, and the unwise virgins. The wise virgins, the oil is, of course, like I said, it's scripture. It's prayer. It's being with the Lord, letting that holy oil just flow right through you. And just letting that light shine and beam to everyone around you. What do you think the unwise virgins are doing? Yeah, in the world today, they're like, well, I have Jesus. I went to Sunday school when I was a kid, so clearly I'm fine. Clearly. I heard about Jesus is, but you know, they don't. These are ones who do not have a relationship with the Lord. They don't really. You guys know, right? There's a difference between knowing someone and knowing who they are. Right? There's a big difference in that. Now, you look at one other aspect of this. What were they doing? They were sleeping. Why were they sleeping? No, because the hour was late. The hour was late. So basically, there's some who, like I just said, the hour's getting late. I don't have to worry. I already know Jesus. I don't have to keep up because I'm young. Jesus ain't coming. I got a while. I got time. I got plenty of time. It's going to be like back in college studying for exam. The night before, I'm going to go through all my notes and just cram for it. It'll be fine. Because Jesus ain't coming back for a while. And you know, I'm 49. Yeah, I got plenty of time. Plenty of time. You know, it's that kind of stuff, the church, scripture, all that stuff is for people who are older. You know, when I retire, I'll do it then. It's fine. The problem is, we don't know when God's going to say, "Matt, come here. Your time's done." We don't know that. That's why it's important to stay in the Word, to make sure our light is shining out to this dark world. Because you see it on the news, you see it on the streets, you see it at Freddy's, you see it at Safeways. There is so much hurt and darkness in this world. There are so many who are lost and have no hope because they don't have Jesus. They don't have love. They don't have anything. You know, there's a phenomenon going on right now. It's really strange. I never really had this happen when I was in high school. But there's kids in high school who are homeless. You know, I'm not talking they're on drugs type homeless. I'm talking they literally have no home because their home has been destroyed. Satan backed a dump truck full of TNT in there and lit it up. And it's gone. It's been blasted to crumbles or little itty bitty pieces. It's done. And to them, they're just trying to make it. They have nothing. And that's where we come in. Hebrews 3, 13 through 14 teaches us, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We're holding on to Christ all the way. You know, you remember the in Scripture, the woman with the issue of blood, how she just wanted to reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' garment? No, we need to be like grabbing onto him and let him drag us along on the ground. That's what we need. You know, I want all of Jesus. I don't want just a little bit. I want all. It's all or nothing. But again, through him, that's how we can accomplish this. Romans 4, 16 through 24 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Abraham is an old man. God said, you're going to have a kid. Just for fun, how many are here are over the age of 60? Okay. How would you like to have a kid? Yeah. And you're probably going, even if you did, you're like, no, that's impossible. I'm too old. But again, for God, nothing is impossible. You see, Abraham did not look at himself and say, I am too old. I can't do this. It's my retirement years. I've conquered the five kings. I'm going to get my little Barco lounger here. I'm going to set up in the sun. I'm going to get someone waving a palm leaf fan over me. You know, I'm just going to be sipping Mai Tais and, you know, drinking lemonade and having fun and eating bonbons. It's my retirement. But, you know, like you know as well as I do, there's no retirement for marriage. There's not. We are married to Christ. And he can do amazing things through us if we believe. Abraham believed. You know, when God told him this, he wasn't like, oh, no, God, I'm too old. Sorry, I'm done. You know, the old jazz dance injury. Can't do it. He went, yes, Lord, let's go. And he went. But again, there's people who say, no, I can't do this, Lord. I'm retired. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too tall. I'm too small. Too short. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too bald. I've got too much hair. You know, it really comes back to, are you making excuses or are you making things happen? That's the question. So Romans 8, 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I'm not trying to harp on you older folk today, but do you know when retirement came into being? The concept of retirement actually came into being in the 1800s. Up till then, there was no such thing as retirement. Well, to some extent. But again, the thing is, do you have your foot, even no matter if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, it doesn't matter. Is your foot on the gas pedal for God? Are you hitting the brake? What pedal are you hitting? And don't worry, there's no cops that are going to get you for speeding to God. Although if you try to give them excuse out here on 6, it ain't going to work. I can tell you that now. But Matthew 24, 12 through 13 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. What is the end? It's the end of our life. It's not when Jesus comes back. If you endure, if you continually seeking God all the way through your life, you will be saved. But like the 10 foolish virgins, those who are like, nope, I'm good. I'm just going to lay down and take a nap. Let me know when he comes. You know, same thing's going to be said. They're going to go, Lord, Lord, hey, remember me? And he's going to say, who are you? I know you not. It ain't going to be pretty. Because, and one thing you have to keep in mind with this is too many times, and I myself am guilty of this, we try to do things in our own strength. But you know what? That doesn't work. But in Christ, we can do all things. In Philippians 3:11 through 14, Paul said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Do you get what Paul's saying here? He's saying the past doesn't matter. Keep going forward. Christ is right there. Keep going to him. Don't stop. You know, it's like being on a steep slope for those of us, for those of you who have ever trudged through the Coast Range here. You're on a slope like this. What happens the minute you stop? There's no stopping. Either you go or you're dead. It's that simple. Too many like to camp out, though. But again, we're living this life not for this life. Don't get me wrong. Yes, you can enjoy this life. Yes, that's fine, and that is great. But you really should be living for the next one. The one that's eternal, not this one that has a short little blip on a little, you know, heartbeat chart. Because it's not going to last. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 25. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. In a race, in any sports event, how many here played sports? Okay. How many of you were just like, yeah, whatever. I'm just here to occupy time and space. No, you played to win, right? What Paul's saying, the same thing. When you go to run a race, you know, if you've watched the Olympics or a track meet, you know, they all get ready. They get in their position, right? The gun fires. You don't see them just like put their hands in their pockets and mosey on down the track. I would, though, probably if I were running, but they run the race to win the race. That's the race we're in. You know, in scripture, you see so many times when God is speaking, he says the word all. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. When you're running a race, you hold nothing back. That's why you see people when they hit across that finish line, sometimes they go flat on the ground because they have nothing left in the tank. Sometimes some people have to go back and grab them and carry them across the finish line. They've held nothing in reserve. That's what life is for us in our relationship with God. It is life with no reserve. Because there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to everlasting life. There's only one way to joy. There's only one way to peace. There's only one way to life and life more abundantly. And that's Jesus. 2 Timothy 4:6-8, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." See what Paul's saying? I'm done. I made it. I gave it my all. I fought the fight. I won. I know what's waiting for me. My victory is waiting for me. The Lord is waiting to crown me the winner. You know, that's the way each and every one of us should feel like, you know, when we get there, when God calls us home, it's our time is done for Jesus to be right there, you know, an angel right here, and he just turns around. The angel grabs the crown, gives it to him, and he just puts it right on our head. And says, "Welcome home, good and faithful servant. Well done." That is how we should live our life. So Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." We have God in us. Yeah. That's our light. If we have God in us, we have his strength in us. The problem is, like it says here, we keep trying to do it in our own strength. That fails. Because even the young will fall. I've been there. I know what it's like, and I'm sure all of you have too, when you are utterly exhausted and you have nothing left. That's where God can come in. You know, if you've ever been to the point where you are just utterly tired and you're like, "God, please help me." He'll be like, "Okay." And he hooks that recharger into you. And you're all of a sudden like the Energizer Bunny again, just beating and beating. But there's something in this passage, a couple things I really want you to take note of. First, they will mount up and they will soar like wings on eagles. Mounting up, if you think about it, you hop on board. You know, it's like back in the cowboy movies, you know, "All right, everybody, mount up. We got a war to win." And they go forth. You don't mount up just to sit there. You mount up to go. And why eagles? Because if you were to mount up on an eagle, is the eagle going to plummet to the earth? Well, okay, if I sat on it, would. But if you mount up with God, an eagle doesn't just like, when it takes its leap with its wings out, it just doesn't plummet to the ground. What does it do? It soars. And that's what God does for you. If you're mounting up in God, you're not going to just right to the ground. You're going to just soar right up through the air. And you're going to find that everything that you thought was impossible is possible. Because you're doing it in him. So the other thing is those who wait on the Lord. So waiting on the Lord, to wait on someone is to serve them. Like a waiter, a server. You continually check in with them to see how they are doing and if they need anything. When they make a request, you hurry off to complete it with no delay and to the best of your ability. The request of the Lord stirs our hearts to fulfill his task with his vigor and his strength. Therefore, we mount up like on horseback to set out to do it. And he will fill us with such joy that we press on, for it is the joy of the Lord filling us that we have been given a task by our Lord and Master to accomplish. You understand? It's kind of like, and I hate to use this example, truly I do, but it's kind of like the Disney movie Beauty and the Beast. And don't worry, I'm not going to break out in a song and dance number. But, you know, be our guest. We are just waiting to serve you. You know, that's us. You know, when we're waiting on the Lord, we're like, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, I want you to go pray over such and such. Okay. When you have that, you have that energy like, I've been given a task by the Lord. Woo! I can go do it. And off you go. There's no hesitation. It's like an arrow from a bow, right? Has no hesitation, no second thought. It goes straight to its target. That's how we are when we wait for the Lord. And there might be times, you know, like we're, okay, Lord, do you need anything? Okay. Lord, just checking in. You need anything? But there's going to be times he's like, yes, I want you to go do this. And you're like, okay. I know some of you, talking with you, you've had experiences where you're just like, do, and you pass someone, and all of a sudden the Lord goes, go speak to that person. You're like, whoop, whoop. And you speak to them. And they were having such a bad day that all of a sudden you changed their life. Because you interjected love and light into that darkness. You know, and that's what we should always be doing. We are ambassadors of Christ. Each and every one of us. The world tells us not to be, but we should. A great example was, I was down in Bi-Mart in Lincoln City several months ago. And this cashier was having a terrible day. I mean, I'm assuming she was having a terrible day because she was looking down just like moving things across, scanner, not making eye contact. There was a guy in front of me, he's holding a little baby. That little baby was a little fussy. You know how that goes. All of a sudden you're juggling a hot potato, especially when you're trying to get the wallet out to pay. So he was doing two different orders. So she did the first scanning and he paid. She took the other items, scanned them, and she said, you know, she gave him the total. He's like, oh. If you've ever tried to hold a baby that's squirming, you know, or a small child, you know what it's like. It's almost impossible. That's where you really wish you had the tranquilizers. But long story short, he didn't have any money. And he said, well, I'm going to have to go out to my car and get some more money. And I just said, you know what? I'll cover it. He's like, no, you don't have to do that. And I said, yes, I will cover it for you. He's like, why? I said, because you're in need. I will cover this. So I stepped up, ran my car, and he was just like, wow, thank you. Can I repay you? And I was like, no, I just want the Lord to bless you today. And he's just like, wow, okay, well, thank you. And the Lord bless you as well. And he left. The cashier, however, her countenance changed like that. All of a sudden, she was like, I can't believe you did that. I have never seen anyone show that kind of kindness to anyone. You have made my day. Thank you. And I was able to just talk to her and just speak love into her. And it completely changed her day. That's what we're trying to do. You know, we are called to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is love. You know, another incident was here at Freddy's. God's kind of put on my heart now to try to tell people, God bless you, instead of thank you. And there was a lady at the cash register at Freddy's, and I was bringing in, I had a whole bunch of chips and pop for the youth. And she was like, oh, are you having some kind of a party tonight? I said, well, you could kind of say that. It's a party for the youth group. Oh, well, what youth group? And I said, Life Change Christian Fellowship for church youth group. She's like, okay. Well, I hope it goes well for you. And I said, thank you. And may the Lord bless you today. And I left. I went back a week later. Guess what? She was back at the register. And you know what she said? I remember you. She goes, how did your youth group go? Did they like the chips and pop? And I said, yes, they did. And she's like, that's great news. And I said, yes, but they're kids. They're going to love that kind of stuff anyways. And she goes, did they love the chocolate? And I said, yes, they devoured the chocolate. She's like, yeah, I would have too. But you know what happened? Is when I left, I said, you know what? Thank you. The Lord bless you. And she went, thank you. Thank you for that. Just that one encounter changed her perspective that much. That is the impact that we have on people. That is why we should be living in love and always doing good to those around us. Always. Philippians, you guys know this one by heart, I'm sure. Philippians 4:13. Yes, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does it say some things? A few things? All things. Do you know what stops us? You know how many? It's interesting because I've heard people say, like, yeah, I know scripture says all things, but you know, I have a bad hip. That prevents me from doing something. Or, yeah, I know it's all things, but really, I'm just not feeling it. Have you sought the Lord? No. There's the problem. You know, it's kind of like, because I know I've had it, and I know you've had it, where you really don't want to pray. You are in that, just that zone where you're like, God, I want my space. But you know what? God doesn't work that way. You know what God's going to do if you tell him you want your space? Oh, he's going to grab you in a big bear hug. You're going to be like, And that's what it does. If you don't feel like praying, you say, God, I be honest, God, I don't feel like praying, but I want to talk to you. And you'll have like a little prayer, like, thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. Then all of a sudden be like, thank you, Lord, that there's no traffic on the road. Thank you, Lord, I got up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the breath you gave me. And you're just be rolling on and on and on and on. And God's just going to fill you with his love and his light and his grace. And you're going to be so full of joy and peace. And you're just going to be like a walking spotlight. You'll walk into Safeways and everybody's like, bah! What is that? They're going to want to like throw some plastic over you or something, some black plastic. But don't worry, you'll melt through it. But that's what it means. That's how we should be living our lives, always continuously for the Lord and for one another in love. You know, I know it's hard sometimes like to find the time to pray, to worship, to meditate, but that's when you can ask God and he will show you how to find time. He is always faithful and true to do that. Always. You'll learn this wonderful thing. It's called multitasking. Did you know you can walk and pray at the same time? Some of us is more difficult than others. But, but that's how faithful God is. And that's how we should be wanting to be around him is just to, again, just grab a hold of his leg, even if he's pulling you along on the ground. He will pick you up and be like, here, let me show you a better way of doing this. Come here. And he'll walk with you and he will empower you. You know, another name for the Holy Spirit is power, comforter. He's with us in everything. You know, when we think we can't do it, he helps us through it. But if we're not staying, if we're not filling our lamps with oil to keep our light going, it will not shine. If it does not shine in the darkness, we cannot do the work that we need to do. We cannot help others. We cannot love others. And they desperately need it. So I'm going to let the worship team come up here. And if there's any of you here today who you're thinking that the end is a long ways away, you don't have to worry about it, or you don't know who Christ is, I'm going to be standing up here. Come talk to me. We'll have a nice talk. Or if you need something for prayer, come on up. So, because each of us should have Jesus shining in us brightly. So thank you, everyone. May the Lord just be with you this week and fill you with his presence and guide you in everything that you do. And may he just fill you with his grace and his love and his understanding. In Jesus' name, we just pray this. Amen. Amen.